The exact timing of the U.S. raid on Caracas, Donald Trump said, was weather-dependent. But if Washington had wanted to send a signal to Beijing, it could hardly have chosen a better moment. Hours before the military action began, a high-level Chinese delegation met with President Nicolas Maduro in Caracas to affirm their support for the beleaguered leader. It was Maduro's last official engagement before the U.S. Special Forces swept in. Beijing has condemned the U.S. action in strong terms, describing it as a threat to peace and stability in the region. David Sachs is a fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations. Welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Thanks for having me.
First of all, if you would, David Sachs, just spell out briefly for us, what is the current relationship between Venezuela and China? These two countries have been strengthening their ties for many years, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an asymmetric relationship. China is far more important to Venezuela than Venezuela is to China. China is Venezuela's number one trading partner. And while China only imports a few percent of its oil from Venezuela, it is by far Venezuela's largest customer for oil. China has been a massive investor in Venezuela. Estimates are anywhere between $60 billion and $100 billion in investment. But new loans have been largely non-existent for the past decade as China has tried to de-risk from Venezuela. It's had concerns about its economic and political stability and whether it would get paid back. They did upgrade their relationship to what is termed an all-weather strategic partnership in 2023, but as you noted at the outset, that didn't really do Maduro much good when he needed it.
So the drying up, if it happens, of Venezuelan oil to China is not so much significant, is it, in terms of China's energy security? How much of a blow, then, is what's happened in Venezuela to China, and for what reasons?
Well, I think that China will look at this in a regional context, and it will see that the Trump administration is far more assertive about the Western Hemisphere being a sphere of influence and not really tolerating much, if any, Chinese, Russian, or Iranian influence there. Secretary of State Marco Rubio has been quite clear about that in the days following the strike. And so I think that China is going to look throughout the region and try to figure out, you know, what level of influence it can basically get away with, how risky it's going to be if China continues to try to get a bigger security foothold in the region. We know China wants military bases in the Western Hemisphere. I think it'll be much more difficult for China to pursue those because I think countries are not going to want to really risk, you know, being next in line, as President Trump has already said that he's looking at other countries after Venezuela.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast. David Sachs from the Council on Foreign Relations is here to talk about China's reaction to events in Venezuela. Do you think what's happened will push some other countries in the region, in Latin America, to review ties with China?
I think so. We've already seen that to some extent with Argentina. Of course, President Trump and Milei have a quite close relationship. The United States provided a sizable bailout that really helped him politically in Argentina. And, you know, the site of one of China's most significant dual-use facilities in the region is in Argentina. It has a space station that is run by an arm of China's military that can, you know, spy on things in space, provide surveillance to China. And there have been some kind of indications that Milei might revisit that or constrain Chinese activity there. Of course, Panama is another one where the Trump administration has put pressure on a Hong Kong-based company to divest its control of ports on both sides of the canal. Now China has come back and said that actually it wants a PRC firm to purchase that instead of the Hong Kong firm. So I think there's going to be a give and take here and a push and pull. You know, Brazil is an interesting case where they might try to go more towards China. China has built EV factories in Brazil. You know, the leftist government there has taken a much harder line towards the Trump administration. But I think that if you're looking at, you know, again, places like Panama, Argentina, Central America, Mexico, you know, I think that they've obviously wanted a hedge. They want the best of both worlds. They don't want to pick a side. But I think that they're going to be increasingly forced to do so.
And then if we zoom out, this idea of the Trump administration of dividing the world into hemispheres, this is our hemisphere, does that actually align with China's thinking? Does it sort of embolden Beijing on their thinking about their desire for regional dominance?
Well, China would love to have that conversation with President Trump. And ideally with Putin in the room as well, and say, okay, the United States, you can have the Western Hemisphere, we'll take Asia, and Russia can take Europe. But I don't buy the argument that the United States is going to accede to that. I think, yes, clearly it is asserting a sphere of influence in the Western Hemisphere, but I highly doubt that the United States will grant the same privileges to China in Asia. Of course, the United States has, you know, treaty commitments throughout the region, including to Australia. I don't see any signs that the Trump administration is revisiting any of those agreements. If you look at the U.S. national security strategy, yes, it put Latin America first, which was quite unprecedented. But in the section on the Indo-Pacific as well, you know, there are no indications there that the United States doesn't want to play a leading role. You know, there is even language in the national security strategy about being able to prevail throughout the first island chain to defend U.S. interests throughout the first island chain. There was a lot on Taiwan in the national security strategy as well. So, you know, I don't think Beijing has any illusions that the United States is prepared to give Beijing, you know, a freer hand in Asia in exchange for having a freer hand in the Western Hemisphere. And of course, you know, Chinese officials and academics can denounce this as a double standard or hypocritical. And I guess on a theoretical level, they're right. But I don't think that just because that's the case doesn't mean the United States won't pursue that strategy.
David Sacks, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.